so glad you're with us today. I appreciate so much David's prayer that he led a few moments ago. And I know all of us are deeply concerned about what's going on in Ukraine. I was talking with Dimitri yesterday, and Dimitri pointed out something that he had heard, and I don't know how accurate, but I have no reason to doubt it, but he mentioned that there are probably more churches in Ukraine than there are in all the rest of Europe. I find that a little overwhelming, but I know there's been a tremendous amount of work done there and a tremendous amount of things that are going on in the Ukraine. We want to continue to remember them. Brother Posey, who used to preach for the Austinville congregation, has been there, and many of us have been following his journey trying to get back. And as of yesterday, he had crossed the border into Poland, and hopefully will be able to soon be back at home with his family. But that leaves a lot of people behind and a lot of people there. We want to continue to remember them in our prayers. I want you to remember and that today is our last day for a recommendation of elders. You'll have until tomorrow to turn them in to the office, but that process will end tomorrow. So if you have some suggestions you would like to make or some recommendations you would like to make, then please turn those in to us. Also, Penny Case's mother passed away, and that visitation and funeral will be tomorrow in Pulaski, Tennessee. We'll do a calling post this afternoon to give more details, but we just received the details from Penny late last night, and so it was too late to do a calling post, but we'll do that later today. But I want you to continue to remember Penny and her family in our prayers as well. And tonight we'll have a special service. We're calling it Sermon Interpretation. And I know so many people will say we need that all the time. But Sermon Interpretation is going to be a little different. Where tonight Eric is going to speak to the kids. And then Malvin is going to speak the same lesson, same thought to the teens. And then I'm going to speak the same thought to the adults. And the key word that we're going to use for all three is the word faith. And we thought it would be interesting to see how that would be approached from the standpoint of all three of those different levels. And that's what we'll be doing tonight in our lesson. I want you to pay careful attention to the things that are said. Not to me, but to the things that are said. There are some times when you deliver a lesson, you think, I'm not ready to do this. I don't know how to do this. And I just hope that it goes well. And that's the case this morning. And I hope you will listen and hear the things that I think are so important for us to understand and for us to remember. To start it off, I want to do something that's not on the outline, but I want to back up to our singing last Sunday night. If you were here, I think from all reports of everybody that was here, it was an outstanding night when we had that singing last Sunday night. Why? Was it brand new songs we'd never sung before? No. Was it new song leaders who had not led before? No. Was it the perfection in song leaders? No. Was it the perfection in singers? No. From where I was sitting, I can guarantee you that was not the case. And I'm not talking about Jane, who was sitting next to me. I'm talking about me. But that was not the case at all. What made it so outstanding for everybody was everyone's involvement. We were singing. And we were singing focused on the songs that we were singing. And you could tell that. You could tell it by the emotion that came with individuals as they sang songs that brought back memories, that brought tears. You could tell that in the way that all of the singing was done. There was involvement. That is important. That's key. That's going to be key for us today. We're talking about ordinary. Do you feel ordinary? I had a high school guidance counselor who at the time that he was my guidance counselor, he was also my Bible school teacher on Sunday morning at the Memorial Drive congregation. And everybody who was graduating had to go in and you had to take a test to see what you might qualify for and what you might be good at and the direction your life might need to go. And I had taken that test and I came in. And so when I came in to talk with him, he looked at me and he scratched his head. And he looked at the paper and he looked at me again and he said, "Dwayne, you're a lot like I am. You're not outstanding in anything, but you're pretty good at just about everything." And I thought, well, that pretty well sums it up, that you're about as ordinary as you can get. And that pretty well summed it up. And I have never felt bad about that. I've always felt pretty good about that. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 3, I want us to read again. And I want you to notice what God says about his son that is coming. Who has believed our message? That's the question. What's important? The message. Who has believed the message? That's the key. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who has seen God's power? Who has seen God's strength? Who is recognizing from the ordinary all around them the strength and the power of God? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, something that did not seem to have any strength or power to make it at all. And like a root out of dry ground, no visible form of substance. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. You didn't look at him from his physical appearance and say, I'd like to know more about him. Not this man. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind. No fear until power began to be demonstrated. And then fear came upon some. He was a man of suffering, and he was familiar with pain. And like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Nothing of significance, nothing of importance. And all of this to Jesus. There's a reason why most people love books and many don't like movies. There's a reason why people like movies and prefer not to read the books. The first novel I read, written by Tom Clancy, was The Hunt for Red October. I read that book and I enjoyed that book. And when the movie came out, I was excited to go see it and I was disappointed in the movie. As typically you always are if you've read the book first. Tom Clancy wrote an article, or rather there was an article written about Tom Clancy's reaction when he first learned what was happening to the book that he had written with regard to the movie. You see, the book in paperback form had 656 pages. The movie transcript could only go to about 150 pages. And when Tom Clancy realized that, he didn't want it to go to a movie. He didn't know if he wanted to really let them turn it into a movie because it was going from as many pages as he wrote to that few. There's a reason for that. The movie is the moneymaker. Everybody pays to see the movie. Everybody's happy to go see the movie. And the reason is because it's heavy on special effects and it's heavy on action. It draws your attention. It holds your attention. It's there. And it goes through it very quickly because of the special effects and the action. But a novel, or rather the movie, is also very light on development of a story and very light on character building, on the building and letting you know all that there is to know and should know about that character. Novels are different. They're long on story. They're long on character building. They are long on those things, and thus you have far more developed than normal. And I want us to look at that and think about it from the standpoint of the world that we live in, even today. Although it doesn't seem to be raining as hard now as it was when we drove in, there's a great deal there. The book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 3, the writer of Hebrews says this, "The Son," talking about Jesus, "the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being." This man described in Isaiah 53? Yes. He is the radiance of God's glory, and He is the exact representation of His being. From physical appearance, He is nothing to look at. From physical attraction, there is no desire. But He is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purifications for sin, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. I want you to focus on the middle part of that verse. He sustains all things by His powerful word. Sustains all things. He holds everything together. He holds everything in place. Then this verse in Colossians 1:17. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And the idea of hold together means they exist. They continue. None of us ever saw God's creation. None of us ever saw the word spoken, "Let there be light," and there is light. None of us ever saw that. No human being ever did. None of us ever saw God putting clay together and a human being, man by the name of Adam, coming into existence. None of us ever saw that. No human being ever did. No human being has ever seen all of those things. But you remember when Jesus walked on the water? Do you remember when He got to the boat, all the things calmed down? Do you remember when He was asleep in the boat and the disciples, out of fear of being drowned, woke Him up and said, "Are you not concerned that we're about to perish?" And Jesus simply spoke and said, "Peace. Be still." He controls everything. Which is more impressive? To walk on a storm-tossed sea or to control all the elements of rain, wind, and nature? To control them all. We're coming into the season of the year that's probably the favorite for most of us. Why? Creation's waking up. Creation's coming back. Creation is about to be restored again. Every day we live, we are surrounded by our ordinary. What we take for granted, what we see everywhere around us, but what we're also surrounded by is God's amazing power. And the amazing power that holds everything together. The sun is now in its progress of coming back toward the northern hemisphere. That's why the days are getting longer. That's why the days are going to get warmer. All of those things are happening just as God intended for them to happen. They've been happening since creation, and they will happen until this world is destroyed. For us, it is ordinary. For us, it is just what happens every day. And so many times, we don't stop to think, what's happening here? And every day we live is a demonstration of our ordinary is showing to us the wonder and the amazement of God Himself. And we're never going to see it if we don't think about it. We're never going to see it if we don't consider it. We're never going to see it if we don't stop and take a look at it, which is what made the singing so great. We thought about it. We focused on it. And because we thought about it and we focused on it, it was different than what we normally experience. But it wasn't different from what we normally experience. It's always there. It's always there for us to consider. It's always there for us to see. The trees budding. I saw my first tulip tree this week, and it was already too late because so many of the buds that were on it were already on the ground. And I miss seeing the glory of it, which I always look forward to. We've got daffodils all over our yard because they're coming up out of the ground. Most of them have already finished coming up out of the ground. But we've got the start of so many other things going on in our yard. I always think about Wisconsin this time of year because a friend of mine who taught me bird watching introduced me to a thought I never considered until he brought it to my attention. And then I thought about it and I considered it. And when you think about it and consider it, then you see the wonder of it. In Wisconsin, in the wintertime, there are no songbirds. They all go south. And in springtime, songbirds come back. And in the springtime, you see a robin for the first time in a long time because of that winter. But you see a robin. And you glory in his return, and you glory in his song, and in all the songs of the warblers, and all of the other songs, because they come back. And it happens that way every single year, and we are surrounded by that life. And if we don't stop and think, and we don't consider, we miss all the glory of God and of his creation. And this book, God wrote one book. He didn't put it out as a movie. And the ones that are trying to put it out as a movie, you have to admit, they're doing a pretty good job, but also there's some parts where it's kind of disappointing. Nothing takes the place of the book. It is from it we get his teaching. It is from it that we get what he has to say. That's where we get our message that we're to hold for ourselves and hold to others. And it's where we get our songs, the songs that we love to sing. Look at the apostles. Acts chapter 4, verse 13 gives us a description. This is primarily of Peter and John, but they were two of the leaders. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, this is the Sanhedrin, and they realized that they were unschooled and ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note. They'd been with Jesus. They heard what he said. They were starting to think like him. And they were astonished at these men who were so ordinary and who had so little education. Paul as well. Paul will describe himself as everything that I was striving for, I now count as loss. I have set it all aside and it's no longer important for me. All the things I thought I needed to be and wanted to be in this world mean nothing. And I counted them all as loss so that I could come to know Jesus Christ. His focus. What he listened to. What he heard. What he thought about. You remember this passage in John 6, 25 through 66, where Jesus feeds the multitude. After he fed the multitude, it's when he left them and he crossed the sea, and that's when he walked on the water, and he came across the Sea of Galilee back to his hometown's area. And the people got up the next morning and they looked for him and they wanted to know where he was and they couldn't find him. And so the whole, I don't know if it was all of them or not, but a great number of them, looked for him and then came across the sea themselves and searched for him until they found him. And when they found him, they said, "How did you get here?" And Jesus, knowing what was going on, said to them, "You're following me because you ate the bread, not because you heard what I said. You're following me because you ate the bread." And he identifies himself as the Christ, the Messiah. "Well, if you are, then give us bread from heaven. If you are the Son of God, then give us the bread from heaven like Moses gave to the children of Israel." It wasn't Moses, it was God. "And you are given that bread. But that bread is not what you eat with your physical mouth. That bread from heaven," Jesus said, "is me. You must eat me. You must eat me and all that I am and who I am and what I am." And they said, "Well, this is a hard saying. This is crazy. This is ridiculous." And they turned and they walked away. They all left. Because it wasn't what they wanted. It wasn't what they thought was important. And so they all leave and they turn around, or they turn away. And then Jesus says to his disciples, "Do you want to go away too?" And Peter, the one who spoke, said to him, "To whom shall we go? You are the one who has the words of eternal life." I love this story. It's about the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Before coming to Berea, Paul had been in Thessalonica. And while he was in Thessalonica, the Jews that were there did not want him there anymore, did not want him in their synagogues, did not want him talking anymore. He talked to the Gentiles that were there, but he left, had to leave because of the mob that was being raised. And he came to Berea. And when he came to Berea, the Bible will tell us very simply in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, these people were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And the reason is because they searched the scriptures every day to see if what Paul was saying was actually what God was saying. What do you do with a lesson? What do you do with a lesson from a class? From a lesson delivered in a sermon? What do you do from a lesson with regard to a reading? Do you just sit in here and let it go in one ear and out the other, or do you sit in daydream? Not even think about it. Not even think about what's said. Just keep looking at my watch, saying, "How much longer is this going to be?" What do we do when we hear God's word being presented? Paul was not a great speaker. By his own admission. By his own admission, when he spoke in fear and in trembling, but he spoke what God said. Apollos was the man you wanted to listen to. Apollos was the man who spoke with great fervor. That means with fire. With great fire and enthusiasm. He was a man that would hold your attention. That was Apollos. That was not Paul. But look who wrote most of the Bible, most of the books, and the most number of books in the Bible. He didn't write most of it, but he wrote more books than anybody else. And that would have been Paul. He wrote more books than anybody else in the New Testament. That would be Paul. It's the message. And the message is God's. And the people of Berea saw that. And they made it a practice to go and look at the scriptures themselves to see if what Paul said was what scripture was saying. Wouldn't it be something if we did that? Wouldn't it be something if our heart and our devotion was so much that we wanted to know what God said that we actually searched it to see if that is what God has said? Accepting our ordinariness We are ordinary. We walk through life one day at a time. And guess what you're doing every single day you walk? You're telling your story. You're building your story. You're showing your story to your family, to your friends, to yourself, and to God. Every day we live in this ordinary world, which is not so ordinary, and we live this ordinary life, which seems to us to be about as ordinary as it can possibly get, we are telling our story. And our story as we relate to God Almighty. And our story as we relate to His Son, Jesus Christ. What's our story? What are we saying? Do we accept others in their ordinariness? We want others to be much bigger and better. And we can think of a lot of ways where people need to improve and where people need to get to be a lot bigger and a lot better. But do we accept other people in their ordinariness and see in them the likeness of God as they in themselves strive to follow Him? The Pharisees were the one group of people that wanted to be above the ordinary. They wanted the chief seats. They wanted to be recognized. They wanted to wear the special clothing. They wanted to be recognized as being above and beyond everybody else. They did not want to be ordinary, and they did not want to be thought of as ordinary. They looked down on those that were not like them and not doing the things they did. They condemned people if you didn't look like them or act like them, or if you didn't do the things that they were doing. They look down on you. Are you listening to Jesus? Then you're not ordinary. Are you paying attention to what He says? You're not ordinary. Are you talking about Him? I started to do something just because I wanted us to see something, but I'm not going to do it. But I want you to think for a minute. During this past week, have you talked about Jesus? Now, I'm not saying you sat down and had a Bible study with somebody, but do you talk about Jesus to somebody? I would dare say if you thought seriously about it, just about every single one of us in here would have said, yes, I mention Him just about every day that I can think of. I talk about Him and say something about Him about every day I can think of. And I think that would be the case with just about the majority of all of us. If we are focused on Him, if we love Him and are striving to be like Him, yes, we're talking about Him. Yes, we're striving to listen to Him and to be like Him. Then there's nothing ordinary about you. You're exactly where God would have you to be. And being exactly what God would have you to be doing. Let's just do it more. Let's do it better. And let's try to remember, whenever we get to thinking there's not much about us and we're not doing a whole lot, just stop and think, okay, what am I doing? And how can I do it even a little better than I am now? These ordinary people who listen to Jesus, these ordinary people who strive to be like God, they're what makes singings like last Sunday night possible. They are what will make heaven what it's going to be. Are you in Christ? Are you ready to put on Christ in baptism? To have your sins washed away by His blood? Do you need to come home to Christ? If you desire to respond to His invitation this morning, we offer it to you as together we stand and as we sing.